This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast as we are continuing our 21-22 NBA season previews. We're not all the way out of gas yet, but we're getting there. I am Andrew Reich, one of the co-hosts. I'm joined by Adam Murray. Adam, I am so tired, I almost forgot my name.
That is a shame.
I mean, I'm going up a whole lot of flight of stairs, you know, to get to this next floor. You know, it's getting a little airy up here. It feels like there's some exclusivity that I'm feeling up here.
Well, now we are reaching the point of teams who are good, established, should have home court advantage, should be there on the 4 or 5 seed area. Not many mysteries here. They have a nice, we are now on the third floor. You have a nice room. You have a little mini fridge. Little cable TV.
Yeah, if there's a murder that happens, it takes the longest to find out it happened. Not saying I've experienced.
No, this is not the Econo Lodge. We're now on the third floor. This isn't a little two-story park your car out front and hope your door latch locks.
Yeah, so like you're ramping up for us as we're doing our tiers of teams. This is one where, you know, you got some good ones. Like, you got ones that could get to the second round. Would that be fair?
Such confidence. We got great teams here that could make it to round two.
I feel good about these teams. Only one of these actually didn't make it in. But that's the first one we're going to talk about, and we're going to explain why.
Well, for obvious reasons, they didn't make it in. And, of course,
people will know.
Of course, we're talking about the Golden State Warriors, who are out with Klay for his second year in a row. So they tried to cobble together a team. They tried, you know, let's get Wiggins in. Let's get Kelly Oubre. Let's try our might to do something. And
let's go all in with Steph Curry. It'll be the Curryverse where he's just going to run everything. Draymond Green is going to pass the ball to him all the time, which he did. The highest combination of assists to made shots for player to player was Green to Curry. It wasn't an alley-oop. It was him just basically popping him out for threes. He averaged 31.3 points per game, right above Bradley Beal to win the scoring title. However, they lose to the Lakers in the expanded play in the first game. Then they lost at home to Memphis, and they lost the 8 seed.
Yeah, they sort of crapped out at the end. But Klay is back, so it's one of those, well, they should now be back where they were, because he should be the same player he was, ?
It's half and half, because the thing is, for everybody as NBA fans or basketball fans, when you hear torn Achilles, I mean, you think about Isaiah Thomas, who retired, Kobe Bryant, Elton Brand. When people tear their Achilles, it's over. Like, they will not be the same player that they used to be. However, Kevin Durant may have changed that, because he came back from a torn Achilles in 2019, and this year he looked the same. He looked like the same awesome Hall of Fame GOAT that we've seen out of Kevin Durant. I think Klay Thompson can do that. You know, he had also – the other thing that's important to note, too, is that he tore his Achilles I think the same day as the NBA draft in 2020 – in the finals the year before, he tore his ACL. So he's actually kind of mending off two injuries.
But the rest of him is all rested up.
Exactly. The thing is, Klay is one of the best shooters ever. He's so good. He can take over game. I saw that man score 37 points in a quarter. And it wasn't that long ago.
That's the thing, is you don't need Achilles or an ACL just to stand in the corner and shoot threes.
Right.
Kyle Korver did that, made a career of just sitting in the corner. I mean, Walter McCarty as well. Just sit in your corner, shoot threes. You don't need to run around in a circle like, you know, Rip Hamilton. Just, all right, here I am. Boom, swish, boom, swish.
So I don't have his 2019 stats in front of me. Talk about Thompson. If I had to guess, now you got to remember too, they also had Durant and Curry. I'd have to say it was probably in the 20s, like 23 points a game, maybe like three made threes. He was a force. He was a force for those teams that were winning the titles and going to the finals. So if he comes back at that level, along with Curry, who is in his highest scoring mode now, will he rein it in now that Clay's back? Cause they have rapport together as the Splash Brothers all the way back to like 2012 and 13 when they came together. Yeah, I can see that definitely working. Wiggins seems like still to me feels like the third wheel.
Well, Wiggins is by far the third wheel, and that's apparently all he's ever going to be.
He's super talented. He's athletic. He can play defense. It just doesn't always come together.
They did get him to play defense finally this year, and he, you know, you look at his stats, he was low-key efficient, but...
Except for his free throw shooting. His free throw shooting was 71%, which is horrible.
Yeah, but he, you know, he was a team player. He did fit in, and, you know, having him as the fourth option is not a terrible thing. You also have now some young guys to work with Wiseman and Kuminga and Moses Moody.
James Wiseman was their number two pick in the 2020 draft. 11.6 rebounds, just under a block, 52% field goal percentage, 21 minutes. But he only played 39 games. He had a knee injury. I think he started with COVID.
He started with COVID, and so he was just sort of behind the entire time. And
right.
Like he walked. I mean, like he looked lost in the court, but that's expected of any rookie. However, all you have is Kevon Looney as your only center right now. So by default, they're like, well, he's going to get some minutes. You know, they also amazingly got Porter for a veteran's minimum.
Well, Porter Jr. I mean, look, that guy just got off of a max offer sheet that literally went all the way because he had a player option on the last year that he just ran out. So it's like, I don't think he's begging for change. So I think taking the minimum was reasonable, and Golden State made the bet and he signed the contract. So, you know, good for them. You mentioned younger guys, Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga come in. I don't remember Moody was lottery. Was he lottery?
Yes.
Okay. Kuminga definitely was. Kuminga in summer league showed some athleticism. So I'm kind of interested to see. Andre Iguodala is back.
Yeah. Old man Iguodala, 60, 70 year old man is.
Is this like, do you remember when Scottie Pippen went back to the Bulls in 2004?
No.
It's going to be like that.
Yeah. Moses Moody was the 14th pick. He just squeaked in at the end.
Right, but Moody's good. He went in Arkansas. Kuminga, that's interesting. He might actually be sort of like a semi-replacement for Wiggins if they wind up just flipping him. Do you think that one of these big names can be traded?
That's sort of the hope. That's why they sort of kept him, because he overachieved, and they're like, well, it looks like we could sort of develop something with him, and if he gets a rapport with the Splash Brothers, he's going to get some minutes, and, you know, you're going to make mistakes, as all rookies do, but not a bad place to get 15, 20 minutes off the bat.
Yeah, you bring back Juan Toscano-Anderson, which makes sense. You lose Kelly Oubre Jr. The problem with Kelly Oubre Jr. is that he's I don't think he's a very efficient player, and I think the numbers show that. Even though his numbers look good, he averaged like 15 points and 6 rebounds. I just don't think he really provided value the way that Steve Kerr looks at the lineups. He looks at the lineups where what gives me the best shooting, what gives me the most efficiency minute to minute. And Oubre didn't really provide that. I never thought it was a good fit.
No, he was just not of much of a fit at all. So the Vegas has them at 49.5. What do you think?
The interesting part about that is that they had 38 wins in the NBA season last year. And that is so much higher. If I had to guess, I'd still go under. I would say that it's going to be a little bit of a baby step scenario with Clay because of the injuries, because he's coming off of two of them. So it might be a bit of a slow roll out where Curry is still splashing. And then Clay comes in and they start to get on a roll. But I don't think they're going to be in that 50 win threshold. I don't see that.
Okay.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to a team that did go to the playoffs, the Denver Nuggets. I'm not trying to poo-poo on the Golden State Warriors. It's just the truth. They did. I mean, do you feel in actuality, even though they played in the play-in, that the Golden State Warriors made the playoffs?
The play-in is still...
It's kind of dumb, isn't it? Yeah, it's weird. Basically, no. Denver Nuggets did, and Nikola Jokic was the league MVP.
Which he should have been.
Yeah.
He was straight up regular season doing things that no center should be doing.
It was a weird situation with Yoga. I mean, I could just spit out his numbers. 26 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal and a half, 4 free throws made, 57% for the field, 41 from 3. Unbelievable. But his ability to be the MVP was a blessing and a curse at the same time. He was able to do all that stuff, but the reason he had that avenue to show all that was because he was without the second best player on the team, Jamal Murray, because he tore his ACL in April.
Yeah, that was the problem, is they sort of fell apart because Jamal got injured. And, you know,
Adam
Capazzo.
I think when they got Gordon, they could have won a title. They could have won the West. When Murray went down, I thought that ended it. I was like, okay, they can't go to the finals. Not without
that him. Basically was the killer. If they didn't have him, he was the piece. And like I was going to say, Campazzo did overachieve for who he is, and
great
getting
pass,
anything out of Austin defender. Rivers is amazing.
Yeah.
But you know, this team this year, they didn't lose really anybody. You had Millsap, who you knew was going to go, and then you lose JaVale McGee, who wasn't really a core piece.
Out of the main rotation that they had for the playoffs, nobody left. You know, they still, you know, and I'll just say them. You know, Jokic, Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Will Barton, who re-signed for 2 years, $32 million, a little like a shade more than before, but not by much. The only one that I didn't mention who is gone is Paul Millsap. So he's gone. Monte Morris, PJ Dozier, Campazzo, you mentioned, Jamichael Green, Aaron Gordon, and Austin Rivers re-signed. Were you surprised that Rivers didn't go elsewhere?
No, because he seems to be happy there.
Mm-hmm. It was good fit. One
of those, yeah, I'm a good fit. I know I'm going to get minutes off the top, and I could just ask to be cut when Jamal comes back. But this team, it's one of those, like, well, there's no reason they shouldn't be good again because they're bringing everybody back, and Michael Porter Jr. is supposed to take another leap again. And yeah, you now have Aaron Gordon in there, who now has a position. The problem with him in Orlando was he didn't have a position, and you had 27 centers. So he was at times, you know, playing a three in a big ball lineup, and then all of a sudden he's now a five. So now he has a role. He has a fit. This team, no reason I don't think why they shouldn't be good. It just hinges on Murray.
Right. And you had mentioned about, like, the if it ain't broke, don't fix it philosophy. You know, sometimes that doesn't always work in the NBA, because if you wait too long, you get left behind. I think with Tim Connelly, this was the right approach. Like, there really wasn't much you had to do. And to be honest with you, because Murray's new contract is kicking in, they really didn't have the cap room to make it work anyway. The one quandary that they do have coming up is that Aaron Gordon's deal's coming up. He's already on $18 million. He's going to want more. And you figured him into the starting lineup. So you might be able to get an extension going there, maybe at $20 million plus a year, get him in the fold, but then you need to find money for Michael Porter Jr. So now you're going to be dipping into the tax. So this is the year kind of similar to Milwaukee, where you're just into the tax and you could maybe go far with the lineup that you have, including all the bench guys we mentioned. But then the next year it gets really expensive.
Well, this is the year they got to figure it out. This
right
had, you know, it was they're the young guns, and then they're all going to learn together. And then, okay, now we're here. This is the last year, I think, might've been their window. And,
remember they went seven games so many times, or go far in the playoffs, and then they got punched in the face by Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix was just hot and really took them out. So Vegas has them at 47.5.
That's a little lower than what they were projected to be at in 21. Like in 21, they would have been around the 50 win mark. So I would actually go over. I think I'm a confident over.
They are not. They are, like, it must be really concerned with Jamal's injury and that he might affect this team throughout the season.
Like I said, it happened in April. I don't know if he's going to be ready. I haven't heard too much intel in camp about where he's at with that. If I had to guess, I would probably guess he'll be back in November or December.
I would probably guess All-Star break.
Oh, a little.
Don't rush him back early and just, all right, you have 2 months to get yourself in the last 20 games, or you get yourself in shape to be ready for the playoffs. Like, I don't think they're going to be like, there's no need for him to be back by Christmas.
Do you think they can play a little bit of Bones Highland, the first rounder, or do you think it's going to be Monte Morris time?
Monte Morris.
Okay. I mean, for a playoff team that's looking for 50 wins, like I'm saying, like putting a rookie point guard in there is going to be hard. Like, I don't see that. You can go a little bigger and play MPJ at the two. They did that a couple of times. You know, the problem with MPJ is that as talented as he is on both ends, he's not the kind of guy that can run that two-man game the way Murray does. Murray and Jokic two-man is magic. The reason why is because when you have Jokic there at the elbow and he fakes the handoff, he can do all the passing from the elbow too. And if you do the handoff with Murray, Murray can let Jokic roll and he can do damage from outside. So that's
those
why
those two
love
are
it.
Just, you know, completely, it's like Malone and Stockton. You just have two players.
That's a really good comparison.
With yes. anybody else, they wouldn't be as good. Murray's not an elite point guard from, you know, the traditional point guard skill set.
He's not a point guard, right? He's like D'Angelo Russell, only like a level higher.
Yeah, and but you get the right guy to be with. It's amazing to, it's fun to watch them.
But for now, they got to wait for that. So they got to make this work. Now, Jokic had MVP numbers without him. So we'll see how it goes. But I think their bench is good enough. I'm kind of interested to see if Zeke Nnaji, maybe they can get a little bit out of him. Bol Bol, my guy. And you like Jeff Green. You think Jeff Green was a good fit?
Jeff Green is as the veteran signing to replace Millsap, just a veteran minimum deal. Like, just come in, be that, you know, 15-20 minute guy. Yeah, that's a great sign for nothing. A
right.
good character guy who knows how to win, and it's a quality pickup.
And I don't see a tumble for Denver, even if Murray's out for extended period. Like, I don't see him like, oh, this team, like, it, not like Toronto last year where like, oh, the bottom fell out on him. I just don't see it. Like, it's a high downside. Is that how you say it? Down high, low upside down? How you say it?
They have a low upside. They have a low ceiling or a high floor.
I don't know.
Low floor is you could be very, very bad.
Okay. Now let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks. The funny thing is that every time we always did our previews, we did it alphabetically. So we always started with the Atlanta Hawks. Now we're right here in the like kind of not in the middle, but like we're getting a little bit higher up there. But let's hit on Trae Young. Did your mind change about him after you saw him in the playoffs when he just went fucking bananas?
Well, it was against New York, so it wasn't
also
hard.
Against Philadelphia, also against the Bucks before he hurt his foot.
Well, it was one of those the same way the Suns got hot. You get a hot player he's very hard to stop. But New York, like we said, wasn't good. Philly just beat themselves, and Milwaukee was just, you know, they didn't play Milwaukee.
That game one where Young went off was really amazing. So the interesting part with the Hawks is that, you know, Trae Young was leading the way. He's basically given like that alpha male status on that team. The coach that started with that season was Lloyd Pierce. They made some moves going in. Like, they signed Danilo Gallinari. They got Bogdan Bogdanovic after the deal that the Bucks tried to make with Bogdanovic fell apart. The other one, they had already brought in Clint Capella in a trade before that. So they kind of were going for it a little bit in free agency. They stumbled a little bit, and then they fired him in March, and they bring in Nate McMillan, who had already been fired by Indiana, and he was an assistant for Atlanta. He comes in. They make a run. They were basically healthy when they started the playoffs, when they beat the Knicks, and then they started kind of dropping a little bit. DeAndre Hunter got hurt. Okongwu had an injury. Young gets hurt in the conference finals, which is what really, really hurt them. But they made the most of it, and they went to game six of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and this team that we see now will be the same team we'll be seeing for many years because they all re-signed the core. The problem I have with this team is, well, John Collins got a huge deal. But you kind of had to do it because he's been overachieving since day one.
Not only that, for John Collins. Yeah, he had some issues with like a drug suspension before that, but he had his best year his last year, which is what you want to do if you're a player. If you're an agent, you're thrilled. So he got 5 years, $125 million. He never even got an offer sheet. So that tells you that Atlanta really, really wanted him to come back. So now he's in the fold. Capella already had a contract pre-existing when he got traded to Atlanta, but then he tacked on a 2-year, $46 million extension to go with that. And then Young got, it's not a supermax extension, but it was the most that they could offer him going forward. So it was 5 years, $172 million.
Yep, you have that. And like you said, DeAndre Hunter, Kevin Huerter, and
Huerter's interesting because he's the only one not in the fold. He'll be a RFA. He's slated to be a restricted free agent in 22. Do you think they can negotiate an extension with him before the season starts?
No, he's going to be tough because you have him, Huerter, Huerter, Hunter, and Cam Reddish. All
Huerter and Hunter. That sounds like a law firm.
They're three of the same-ish players, and you're not going to have money for all three, and Hunter is the best of the three.
Let me tell you, though, without Kevin Huerter, you're not winning Game 7 against the Sixers. He was a beast in that game. He's a gamer. The ginger.
He is, but the problem is, where is the money going to be for him? Mm-hmm. He is kind of gobbled up real quick by everybody else.
And that's where the Gallinari, Bogdan Bogdanovic signings might come back to get you. I will say this, Gallinari really fit well at the three or the four, if you want to, like, because he's more of an isolation scorer. That's kind of what he's become now that he's older. Bogdanovic, I thought, played really well when he was healthy. Oh,
yes, he played great on the team. It's just...
But they're meaty contracts, and they go to 2023.
They are. Gallinari is only a $5 million guarantee next year, so he is probably the best trade chip they have in order to upgrade. And with him, he has been healthy in Atlanta, where hasn't really been healthy in previous places. So that's sort of one of those, everything's been turning up heads for him. What happens if that goes? It's just, you look at this team, you added DeLon Wright and Gorgui Dieng, as you know, your veteran, you know, depth,
right?
And
they got right in a trade, so
yeah. But you added them to your team. Like, you've been overachieving since day one. Now that you have expectations and high priced players, it's a lot different. Like we mentioned with so many other teams, can they keep overachieving is the question.
Well, the thing is, like, in order to overachieve, you're still going to have to get more of that extra effort. Like, even Cam Reddish, who barely played in the regular season because he had an Achilles injury, he played really well in the playoffs down the stretch when they were just fraught with injuries and they just needed somebody to step up. And Reddish would come in at, like, the two spot or the three spot and make plays. Okongwu has a shoulder injury, but they really like him. So maybe you can play him a little bit more at the five to give Capella a blow. Capella is still a terrific shot blocker and, you know, averaged 2 blocks a game, 14 rebounds, which actually led the league. So you got all that value there. It's in the fold. You know, the issue, like you said, is, like, can you keep, like, reaching for, like, more and more out of these guys? Like, that's really hard. The one thing I will say, Trae Young is now a bona fide all-star. He's going to get all the calls now. And that's a scenario where I can see him going from, like, 25 a game to, like, back to, like, 28 a game. His points per game actually went a little bit further down from 2020 because I think they were trying to kind of get away from the nutmeg stuff and the highlights, and they wanted Trae to be more of, like, a distributor for the rest of the offense. And then when the playoffs started, when your rotation shrinks like you always talk about, that's when Trae took over because he could do that.
So Vegas has them at 46.5.
That's just a tad higher than their regular season total, but their regular season was so littered with injuries. They weren't even healthy until the very end. So if it was, like, an ideal situation, which I'm kind of, like, looking at a lot of these teams, I would probably go over.
I was just going to say, you've been on team over of this whole floor right
now. I'm being a little rose colored. Like, not everybody can be better. Like, people are going to be worse. Maybe the next one. But the next one we're going to be talking about is the Philadelphia 76ers. This was the one seed in the Eastern Conference. How did they get here?
Oh, they just imploded on themselves and then the process and then everything else. And Doc Rivers and Ben Simmons and They went in last year. However, everybody else went in as well.
Well, they went in before that. It really, to me, the doubling down started in 2019 when they made the trade for Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris in the same season, mid-season. So when they, well, Butler was kind of early on. Tobias was mid-season. They got Tobias to re-sign, but Butler walked, so they bring in Al Horford. Horford doesn't fit, and they fire Brett Brown, and then they bring in Doc Rivers for kind of a change in approach. I don't remember what they got in return for Horford. What did they get in return for Horford in that one? Like George Hill?
I believe George Hill was.
And Danny Green, maybe?
Danny Green signed because he was in Toronto the year prior.
But it wasn't much. They basically dumped Horford. But the problem was they didn't bring anybody in to fit in the mold because the cap, because they're the amount of money that they had tied up with Simmons, Harris, who signed the extension, and then
they didn't realize he's done.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at this roster, it's like they're not as good as you think they are.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's where I think Doc Rivers, even though he does get a lot of hate for his playoff teams kind of like folding at the end, I do think he's good at developing the depth of a team, even if they're not necessarily the most impactful players. And if you look at them on paper, like if you look at Shake Milton, Seth Curry, Furkan Korkmaz, Tyrese Maxey, the rookie, even Matisse Thybulle on defense, like they actually provided value. But if I agree with you, if you look at them on a roster sheet, you're like, that team was the one seed in the East?
And that was, that was a problem. They got rid of Josh Richardson because he couldn't space the floor. So let's bring in Seth Curry, who's the three-point corner guy. You have Danny Green, three-point corner guy. You have Ben Simmons, who's not going to take any shots, period, as we've seen. So, like, there's no playmaker. Tobias Harris, I still say, is overrated. And eventually the age is going to, it's like one of those, like, he never did take that super leap. They kept trading for him. And you have Embiid and, you sign Andre Drummond as your backup, but there's no real, like, backup.
Right. Like, I thought Drummond actually was okay. I know Drummond and Embiid don't always see eye to eye, but it'll be kind of interesting to see how they play together when, because everybody knows it. Embiid is the process. He was the runner up for the league MVP, a super duper star, probably the best big man in the league, but he's not, he's not super durable. He's not a guy that's going to give you, like, he's not going to play game in and game out. You got to give him some rest. Not only that, you just signed him to a 4-year, $196 million extension. So he's now the highest paid player, more than Simmons and Harris.
Well, yeah, this is Embiid's team, and, this sort of gets incomplete because we assume Simmons will be traded, even though technically they still could make it work, but the pieces around him aren't really there. It's like we mentioned, you have Curry, Green, you have Forkmaz, Thybulle's, their prospect they want to keep.
Yeah.
Shake Milton is who he is, but the bench isn't inspiring. They're just sort of there.
The one thing that I did like, even though it was small, is that their three-point shooting needed to get better. They were 24, so they bring in George Niang, who's a good shooter. And he can play the four. So I guess that kind of worked.
Yeah, he's just a solid. He's just a minutes guy. He will give you something.
But I can see him providing out of nowhere when you don't expect it. The problem with Doc is how much longer can you keep dipping into that when you get into the playoffs? And this is the biggest thing, the biggest question, the elephant in the room. How do you solve that when your superstar, like your best defensive player and your bona fide ball distributor, Ben Simmons, is averaging 12 points a game at the playoffs? He's also shooting 60% or 50% from the free throw line. That is such an eyesore. You cannot get past that and be successful in the playoffs.
But did they try working with him? Or do they just, is one of those, like, well, he is who he is. Like,
Adam, isn't the same fucking organization that broke Markel Fultz's shot? They brought like a million shot doctors to the point that he was shooting the ball like he was in the YMCA.
Yeah, they don't have a good history of working with their players. Right. But the problem with the Sixers is they just Embiid, as we know, will always be a health question mark, and then you're relying even more on him now, so it's very, very tough. Like, Simmons, people forget how awesome he is on defense.
Oh, like, he's terrific. He's terrific. He averaged 1.6 steals per game, like somewhere close to a block per game. He's a guy, I don't want to say he can shut you down, but he has very good foot speed. And when he is sicked on like a star player, that star player is going to have trouble getting going.
Agreed. But okay, so Vegas has them at 51.5, which I think is very high.
That is high. And they had 49 in the 72 game season. That projected, if it was 82, around 53. So they think they're going to be like almost the same in terms of their record when they were a one seed. And we've already talked about the, you know, how the East has improved, where, you know, Chicago's getting a little bit better behind them. Milwaukee won the championship. The Nets are the Nets. Like, it's going to be hard to hold that. I mean, I'll just straight up go under on that one
too. Yeah, they're on very shaky ground right there. Especially with a coach who, you know, is fizzled out in places. But again, if you could trade Simmons, you get a major haul for him.
And that's what I was going to say. Let's get to sipping the tea. A Ben Simmons trade, is it possible?
Like, if it is, like, let's just say, you know, the easiest one straight up from McCollum, that would make this team better. If you get a haul of prospects that and playmakers, that would make this team better, just because the way this team is built, he is not a fit for this team. It doesn't mean he's a bad player. So this is sort of an incomplete grade. Yeah, I would go under with them too, but we don't know what they're planning on.
And let me say this too about teams, when, like, anybody on the outside who looks at this and says, yeah, well, it's really hard to like make a major trade like that where you trade a star and are still good. I have a team that won the title in 2004, the Pistons, where that's literally what they did. They bring in Rasheed Wallace and they win a championship. So
it takes one player.
It does. And if it means you have to and look at DeMar, now this happened before the season, but DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl for Kawhi, championship. Boom. So, like, I'm not saying that's the case for the Sixers. I'm not trying to poo-poo on Ben Simmons. Like, anybody that they can get who's a star would be, like, McCollum or D'Angelo Russell. That would be such an upgrade. Like, if you let Ben Simmons go, I know his value is debatable depending on what the organizations think, because some people are like, well, he can give us defense, but he can't give us scoring, but we need the defense, so maybe we'll take the deal. Like, I'm not trying to say anybody who comes in is better than Simmons. You're losing value when you lose a Ben Simmons.
No, you lose value, but you get a player who will make the team better based upon his fit. The same way Jason Richardson at the time was better than Seth Curry. However, Seth Curry is a better fit for this team.
Right. But the thing is, like, and the one thing I will say about Tobias Harris is that even though you're not as high on him as I am, he is to me the guy who can really be a good scorer if Embiid is in foul trouble. That's where I think his value is. Like, he's like almost like an overpaid TJ Warren, if that makes sense. But he's also plays the four. He plays the four, so he can get in there in the paint. He can shoot at the elbow. He draws a lot of fouls. He averaged 3 free throws made a game, and he gets 7 rebounds. So he gives you a little bit of everything. So I actually find a little more value in Harris than you do.
Okay, so as we do with the end of every episode, which team has the potential to move up or down from this grouping?
Well, up is easy for most of them because, you know, this is the range where it's like I can definitely see them all getting better. Like, if they're all healthy, I think Atlanta is a shoe-in, especially if Young is so comfortable now in that superstar role. Like, I can see him just blowing up and Atlanta kind of riding his coattails. Denver seems easy. The thing with Denver is how long is Murray out? Golden State, you expect improvement. How improved are you? This is the question, Adam, I've asked so many times on the show. You know, they're spending Golden State is spending all that tax money, like over a hundred plus million dollars in luxury tax, holding out for this post Durant version of the Warriors to be elite again. This is it. This is the one. How good are they going to be?